Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Oh, always a pleasure. Now, the term new drugs gets thrown around a lot. Can you talk about what these new drugs are and how we define them?
So what we've seen over the past 5 years is a massive increase in people designing new drugs to circumvent the law. And the reason they're doing this is twofold. One is it means that they can produce the drugs more cheaply, which means that there's increased profit margins. And they're also doing it to try to increase the potency of the drugs to make it easier to smuggle the drugs across the border, which again increases the profitability for people manufacturing and distributing drugs.
Okay. Well, is the use of these new sort of research chemical kind of drugs becoming more prevalent in Australia?
One of the problems we have in Australia is we don't have a good monitoring system to identify this. There are a small number of people in the National Drug Household Survey that admit to using them, but most people who are using these drugs are doing so unwittingly. And we know this because we're seeing it come up in wastewater. We're seeing these drugs seized at customs at the border. And so what people are being sold as ecstasy or as heroin is often a counterfeit drug. It's a drug that's much more potent than heroin, or much more dangerous than MDMA. And it's being sold on because of the massive profit margins there are to be made.
Right. Well, that does seem like a huge issue. Well, I know one of the recent calamities has been around synthetic cannabis, which of course poses a lot of health risks, which need medical treatment. Which the result of needing medical treatment is 30 times more likely than people who use regular cannabis. What makes these sort of synthetic drugs so much more dangerous?
Well, with synthetic cannabis, it's a really interesting story, because if you look at when synthetic cannabis first emerged, people weren't needing medical attention. Since synthetic cannabis first emerged in Australia, we've seen 40 legislative changes, and rather than making the situation better, it seems to have made the situation worse. We are seeing less people use synthetic cannabis because word on the street is that this stuff is pretty nasty, but those people who are using it are now using products that are far more toxic than the original products. Because as you continue to ban drugs, what emerges in their place are new drugs that are often more toxic than the drugs that were banned in the first place.
Well, that's hugely problematic, and I guess it's a no-win situation. Well, it's been reported that there are 640 known super synthetic drugs now available, and that it's, yeah, as you said, very hard for the law and health authorities to keep up. Is such a large increase proportionate to what's being described in the media?
Look, I think it's a matter of separating out the truth from the moral panic. This is a real worry. In the US, a lot of people are dying from heroin overdoses, but they're not actually taking heroin. They're taking drugs that are similar to heroin. And it's likely that we'll see something similar happen in Australia. So there's two solutions to this problem. One solution is to regulate. I mean, if you look at in the states in the US where they've regulated cannabis, they don't see problems with synthetic cannabis, because most people that smoke synthetic cannabis say they would rather smoke cannabis. And look, that's a bit of a pie in the sky idea. That's not going to pass through Parliament anytime soon. So I think the more hardline approach that needs to be taken is to put into place harm reduction strategies. So in other countries, they have good monitoring systems and people are able to check their drugs. So whether that's at a festival or at a needle and syringe exchange program, people are able to actually test their drugs before they take them, so they know what they're taking. And in doing so, it reduces them using one of these new drugs unwittingly.
As you brought up, testing seems like a very good idea. How would such a system be advantageous if implemented in Australia, and how would it go about being implemented?
Well, it's extremely advantageous. If you look at what's happened overseas, in the Netherlands, they identified a particular ecstasy pill that contained a nasty drug. They had no deaths in the Netherlands. in the UK, they have now initiated pill testing, but prior to initiating pill testing, there were numerous deaths in the UK because people consume those drugs because they didn't, they were unable to test them first. So it has the opportunity to save lives. It has the opportunity to engage with people in conversation around their substance use before they actually use the substance. And potentially, you know, in the context of a drug like heroin, there's an opportunity to engage with the person, to link them in with social services or even treatment services.
Well, looking at the other side, how are fear-based campaigns used by the media and government counterproductive to combating drug use?
Well, let's look at the past 20 to 30 years of trying to tackle the drug problem. Has it worked? No, it hasn't worked very well. What we've seen is an increase in the availability of drugs, a decrease in the price of drugs, and an increase in the range of drugs that are available, many of them more dangerous than what we started off with. So, you know, Ken Lay said, we can't police our way out of this system, so we need to look at alternative strategies. One alternative strategy is demand reduction, and we haven't done a terribly good job of that either, because the rate of substance use has remained fairly stable over the past 20 years. What's interesting is there's been a significant decrease in alcohol consumption among young people, an increase among older people, but when it comes to illicit drugs, it's remained about the same. When the demand reduction campaigns, or particularly when they're fear-based campaigns, some of the research has shown that it normalizes the drug use, so people see that the prevalence is higher than it actually is, and that may lead them to engage in drug use because they think, you know, everyone else is doing it. And in addition to that, what it does is they often show images that are incongruent with people's vicarious experiences of drug use. So it discredits the information that they're providing is discredited, and in turn, it actually makes them believe that the drugs are safer than they actually are.
Well, I suppose that speaks to the Stoner Sloth campaign, which sort of fell flat on its face last year.
Absolutely.
Well, Stephen, thanks very much for joining me to have a chat about this morning. It's such a widespread issue, and it's so interesting to try and unpack what we can do about it.
You're most welcome.
Cheers.